This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
And we're starting off in the US. Now, if you've been following our Worldwide Wave Facebook page, that's W3Joy, then you'll be well aware of the trials and tribulations of the free speech bus, making its way around the east coast of the US.
It's been one thing after another for the poor free speech bus, hasn't it?
It's been a bit of a trial. It has gone through several trials and tribulations. Now, the so-called free speech bus is a project of the National Organization for Marriage, not all marriages, the International Organization for Families, not all families, and Citizens Go, none of which are particular fans of the LGBT community.
They're not waving their pride flag at all.
And they're particularly not in favour of trans people. These groups have come up against people that that were born male but identify as female, and they think they should stay out of women's bathrooms.
Ironically, the bus only has one bathroom because it's a coach.
So it is, by definition, a unisex bathroom.
It's a gender-free bathroom.
This is the same bus that was cruising around Spain, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
It's all in Spanish.
So they've shipped it across from Spain, where it was endorsed by the Catholic Church. There, it's come across to America because they clearly didn't have enough conservative religion
in America.
Well,
the Catholic Church actually helped bring it across, but you wouldn't get that from the webpage.
From the Citizen Go website, which is strenuously stressing how independent they are. But the poor bus has had nothing but trouble in the US since it started its journey last month. So while it was parked outside an event in the UN in New York City, two people keyed the bus and they cracked several windows with a hammer and spray-painted the bus with the words "trans liberation."
In Boston, protesters blocked the bus while waving placards promoting, acceptance and equality, particularly for LGBTI people.
And I like the, in Philadelphia, there was actually a peaceful rally in support of trans people, and the bus just came around the corner.
Yes, they expected the bus to show up, but they didn't know when.
They couldn't have timed it better, actually. The speeches are just finished, and there appeared the bus.
So there were about 100 people gathered in support with their light blue, pink and white striped transgender pride flag. It was on a flagpole, and then moments after they finished, along comes the bus.
Now, the bus did suffer a bit. It got egged. It got smoke-bombed. A few windows got cracked. But, you know, if you're going to travel around in a bus that says "down with trans people," what do you expect?
And bus organisers say they won't be holding press conferences, rallies or confronting counter-protesters because of the New York incident and others.
Now, one place where there's not so light news is up in Russia.
Unfortunately, yes. A Russian newspaper has reported that local authorities in Chechnya are behind the disappearance of more than 100 gay men from across the Muslim-majority republic. A broad range of men have been taken into custody, including two local television personalities, and at least three have been killed, the paper has claimed, although it was withholding the names of the victims. The author of the article has written that she confirmed the disappearances from sources as in the Interior Ministry of the Chechen Republic, the FSB, which is the Domestic Intelligence Department for Chechnya, and also local LGBT activists. Now, for a bit of background, an atmosphere of anti-gay feeling has been stewing in Chechnya since early March, because it's then that the Moscow-based gay rights group Gay Russia launched an effort to apply for permits to stage gay rights rallies across the country. According to the project's organiser, the effort was doomed to fail, but the idea behind it was to get the denied permits collected for a submission to the European Court of Human Rights as evidence that gay rights are being suppressed within Russia.
Now, the Chechen police are quoted in local media as saying this is an exercise in, quote, preventative mopping up. Preventative mopping up.
Well, it's no surprise because Chechnya attempted to gain its independence in the 1990s and Chechen president/dictator Ramzan Kadyrov operates Chechnya devoid of much constraint from the federal government, provided he keeps the region loyal to Moscow. He's managed to do that in three ways: using federal money to rebuild the mostly destroyed capital city of Grozny, embracing traditional local customs to help co-opt potential extremists, and making women wear hijabs, for example, as a mandatory, and also engaging in those well-documented human rights abuses to keep the population in line. Now, following the publication of the article, Chechnya's government has gone beyond denying that the men had gone missing. It claims that there were no gay men in Chechnya in the first place.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Closer to home, Indonesia. A new study has shown that LGBTI discrimination is costing Indonesia $12 billion, that's with a B, $12 billion a year. And that's US dollars as well.
Wow.
This has come out of the Williams Institute in California, who looked at the potential losses in the forms of exclusion and harm against LGBTI Indonesians. And the impact that has on their local economy. This includes barriers to employment, education, healthcare access, and all those, as well as threats of violence and harassment. That's a huge amount.
That's a lot of dollary dues, that's for sure.
And they've certainly, I think that amount is going up of late, given that there has been quite a degree of discrimination against LGBTI people.
In brief, in the United Kingdom, a World War II veteran has come out as transgender at the ripe age of 90.
In China, a trans woman has transitioned at the age of 72.
So there's no age barrier to coming out.
In the USA, the Love is Love comic has raised $160,000 for victims of the Pulse massacre. And that's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.